Well, it is good to be here tonight. It is good to have the opportunity to speak to each and every one of you tonight. Like Pastor said, we just came off of a great conference, a great revival at my alma mater at Southeastern Free Will Baptist College. And so I'm feeling a little different preaching tonight. As I said, it was a great conference. It was a great revival. Great speakers were there. And so usually there's this mindset. There's this mindset when you have, when it comes to the speakers. You have great speakers that are there, such as Henry Horn, Scott Coghill, Christian Powell, who has been here and preached before, Joey McCrite, and then David Crow. Phenomenal preachers, phenomenal messages. And then after the conference is over, we usually have a chapel, because usually it extended towards Wednesday, and then Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, we have chapel. So Thursdays would be our chapel days. And so the speaker who would be in there, it would be like you have, and I'll only explain it in sports terms because that's how I can relate it to, you would have the star, you have the star players getting on the court, then the next thing you know, you have the towel boy. You have the one who is pretty much bringing up the rear, and I kind of feel that way tonight just in regards of what I've heard and what I've done. It has been a great experience, my cup is full, there were great messages, and I appreciate each and every one of those men because each and every single one of those men poured into my life personally. As professors, as pastors, as teachers, they poured into my life and made me the man that I am today. And I'm thankful for their example, and I'm thankful for their hearts that they shared. And so I am humbled and I'm honored to share the word of God with you tonight. And if I can say a little bit about our spring conference that we had. There wasn't a particular theme to it, but if you were to sum it up in three words, if you were to sum our conference up in three words that put it all together, it was this: I need God. I need God. Every single message zoned in upon that theme of our need of God, of our need of a touch of God. We realize that we need God. We realize that we have that opportunity to need God. And so when we realize that opportunity, we realize that need, what are we to do? I was thinking about this. I was preparing this message. What do we need to do? When we realize that need, we need to seek Him. We need to seek God. We have that opportunity. We have that privilege. We need God. When we realize that, we need to seek Him. We need to seek Him. And so as I thought about that, I came to this passage. I came to this character. I came to this king that we're going to be looking at tonight. And so if you were turning your Bibles, 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles for the entire night. But 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we're going to be looking at a particular king. We're going to be looking at a particular king who, like me, realized that there was a need. Realized that there was a need of the touch of God. That realized that if we need God, we need to seek Him. We need to seek Him. He didn't seek Him not just because of His kingdom, but He said He needed to seek Him. He needed to seek Him. So we're going to see two things tonight. As we realize our need for God, as we realize that we need to seek God, here's what we're going to see from this king. We're going to see a king who started seeking God. We're going to see a king who started seeking God. And then at the end, what we're going to see is what happens when he stops seeking God. We're going to see what happens when he stops seeking God. And that's the title of my message tonight. The title of my thought tonight is what happens when God's people stop seeking God. As I said, we need a touch of God, not just in our personal lives, not just for our families, but for our churches as well. We need a touch of God. We need the power of God. And so what are we to do? We are to seek Him with everything, with every fiber, with every strength of our body. This message and these passages that we're going to look at, it challenged me in this theme. It challenged me in this theme. It pointed me to ask the question, how much do I seek God? How much do I seek God? When I look at that word seek, when I think about that word seek, I think about searching diligently. About searching diligently and continuing to look and to find. And you know what it is that God tells us? God tells us to seek after Him and that we may know Him better. To seek after Him and that we may know Him better. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. If we need a touch of God in our life, we, in all our power and all our strength, need to seek Him. We need to seek Him. I mentioned a king. I mentioned a king is King Asa. King Asa is who we're going to be looking at tonight. I want to read the first few verses so you at chapter 14 just to get an introduction to this. If you're in chapter 14, I want you to look at verse 1. The Bible says, so Abijab slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Verse 2 says, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods, the high places, and break down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. As I start this out, as I look at King Asa, I want to look at his upbringing. Asa was the son of Ahab. Ahab was the king before Asa was. And so I look at the lineage that's there. There's a lineage that's there that's very important to see. As I mentioned, his father was Ahab. His name means father of Jehovah, one whose will is that of God. Or the Lord is my father. Names have significance. Ahab's name means the Lord is my father. Father of Jehovah, one whose will is that of God. And that is how he raised his son. He raised his son to seek God. But as I mentioned in lineage, we're going to go back and look at a little bit of the lineage. Just because Ahab sought God. That didn't mean that there were previous ones before him that did. We look at Ahab's father, Rehoboam. The Bible says that he was not a good king. We look at Rehoboam's father, Solomon, the son of David, one of the wisest men ever to live, a king that sought after God. And of course, we know Solomon's father, David, who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. And so you see the lineage that is here. You see two choices. Those who did right in the eyes of the Lord and those who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But then we go back to Asa. We look at his reign. He was the third king of Judah. And verse 1, it mentions that the land was quiet 10 years. That means there was no war for 10 years. This was a period of peace. And so what does Asa do during that time? During this period of peace, Asa begins to restore Israel in a relationship with Jehovah. We read some of those verses. What did he do? He took away the false idols and your altars. Mention that in verses 3 and 5. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. And in verse 5 he says, he took away out all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. He took away the false idols. He took away the altars. Next, he commanded Israel to seek God through prayer and obedience of the law. Through prayer and obedience of the law. Verse 4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So he takes away the false idols. He takes away the altars. He commands Israel to seek after the Lord. Seek him through prayer. Seek him through obedience of the law. And this started somewhere. This started with Asa. Because Asa purposed in his own heart to seek after God. Asa purposed in his own heart to seek after God. That is chosen in verse 2. Because the Bible says that Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. You look at his lineage. Good and right in the eyes of the Lord, and evil in the eyes of the Lord. He had a choice. And he chose to seek God. He chose to seek God. Not only that, but he got Israel to start seeking God. And in addition, there was no one who opposed them. There was no one who opposed them. When he commanded Israel to start seeking the Lord God through prayer and obedience of the word, when he took away the idols, when he took away the false idols, there was no one that came to him and said, whoa, what are you doing? There was no one that came to him and tried to stop him. He didn't face any opposition because they saw something different in Asa. They said, Asa is a man who wants to seek the Lord God. Asa had a purpose. Asa had a desire to seek after the Lord God. Let me ask you tonight, is that your purpose? Let me ask you tonight, is that your desire? If we need God, if we realize that we need a touch of God, is that our purpose? Is that our desire to seek after him with everything that we've got? That's what Asa did. That's what Asa did. He began to restore Israel in their relationship with Jehovah because he said in his heart first, I desire to seek God because I need him. And then quickly, we go to 2 Chronicles 15. As all of this is going on, we see the desire that he has. And next we're going to see a prophet, the prophet Ezra, comes to Asa with a message of prophecy. And not only is it words of encouragement, but it's also words of endearment. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 1 and 2 says, and the Spirit of God came upon Ezra, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Bethlehem. The Lord is with you. While ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. What's the first thing that the prophet says? First thing that our prophet says is continue to seek after God. Continue to seek after him. Continue to pursue him. Continue to seek after God. And then it reminds him of something in verses 3 through 6. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. For when they, in their trouble, did turn to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of him. In those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon the inhabitants of the countries. And nation were destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex all of them with all adversity. They were in a drought. They had spent years without God. They had spent years not seeking after God. Why? Because they didn't realize the need that they have of him. You see, they already messed that up earlier. Instead of desiring God, they desired the king. And that's exactly why we're here right now. but they were years without God. And so Ezra tells them, continue to seek the Lord God, and continue to encourage them to pursue God. But then he tells them in verse 7, as hard as it's going to be, continue to work. Verse 7, he says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And so what does Asa do? He hears the words of the prophecy. He hears the words of the prophecy, and he continues. He's encouraged. He continues to seek after the Lord his God. And then in verse 12 through 15, he enters into a covenant with Israel. And they enter into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their strength, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And then I want you to look at verse 16, because verse 16 is a really powerful verse. And concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Now, I want you to think about this. I got a little story to tell. Most of y'all may never meet her in this lifetime, but my grandma, she is a very scary woman. My grandma is a very scary woman. Matter of fact, if you've met my mom, most of y'all have met my mom before. That is what my grandma trained her to be. That is exactly what my grandma trained her to be. Now, as I read that verse, I thought about this picture. Asa is a very brave man. Asa is a very brave man. Because if my grandma ever did something that I didn't like, I don't think I'd have the boldness to throw her out my house. Because if I tried that, that would be my funeral. That would be my funeral. The one thing that she taught my mom, I don't care how old your child is, you are never too old for a beating. I will still get whoopings from my grandma if it happens. But I want you to see the seriousness of seeking God. Asa's grandma had an idol. She had an idol. And Asa said, you either choose the idol or you choose the Lord. She chose the idol. Asa said, bah. Asa said, get out. He not only threw her out, but he took the idol, he broke it, and he burned it in the altar. Because Asa was serious about seeking after God. Asa was serious about seeking after God. I want to put an emphasis tonight on that. I want to put an emphasis tonight about seeking God. As we realize the need that we have for him, we need to seek him. Seeking God, one, is to be a serious matter. It's to be a serious matter. Asa took it seriously. Asa got rid of every hindrance that there would be. He said, we are not going to have these hindrances here. We're going to seek after God without these hindrances. This is a very serious matter. If you're going to seek after God, you need to take it seriously. You need to take it seriously. It is a serious matter. Then seeking God is to be a continual process. You don't just do it one day. You don't just do it one day and then cast it aside for the week. You don't just come Sunday and Wednesday and then cast it aside for Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's to be a daily process, a minute, second process. Day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, second by second, you are to seek after God. You're not to stop. To be a continual process, it could be a serious matter. Seeking God is to be a rigorous journey. This will be a rigorous journey. It's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. Asa didn't have any opposition here. We didn't see any opposition. But I didn't mean that opposition was going to come. You see, when you seek God, when you set in your mind that I'm going to seek God with all my heart, with all my soul, you have pain and a target on your back. You have pain and a target on your back. It's going to be a rigorous journey. It's not going to be easy. It is going to take some discipline. But this is the emphasis about seeking God. Now, I said we're going to see two pictures. Because we see Asa. He started out well. He commanded Israel to seek after God. He commanded Israel to seek after God. He got rid of the idols. He got rid of the high places. But then something happens. You see, most of the times, we start out well. We set in our mind to seek after God because we realize our need of Him. And we'll go a week, and we'll go another week, and we'll go a month, and we'll go a couple of months. And then something happens. Something happens. As we're going to see here, the same thing happened to Asa. It's out of my message what's happened when God's people stop seeking after God. In his life, Asa started out well. But then all of a sudden, Asa stopped. Asa stopped seeking after God. Asa stopped. How do you know that? See 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. Verse 1 says this. In the 6th and 13th reign, in the 6th and 13th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa king of Judah. Then Asa bought silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and said to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as with between my father and thy father. Behold, I sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from thee. Back in chapter 14, there was a battle that he faced. Asa had faced the battle. As I said, he started out well. Verse 11 in chapter 14, it said, and Asa cried out unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out in this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. We go from that battle to a few years down the road. Another enemy, another bump in the road, another obstacle comes forth. And we saw in chapter 14 in that verse that Asa had faith. He said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. It is nothing with thee to help. You can do anything. His faith was strong. As he was seeking God with all of his power, with all of his might, his faith was strong. He said, there's nothing too hard for you. You can defeat this enemy. But then we get to chapter 16. We get to chapter 16 and there's something different. There's a new enemy. But yet something happened to Asa's faith. You see, what happens when we stop seeking God? Our faithfulness falters. Instead of having faith in the Lord God that he was seeking, we saw in the verses that Asa decides to make an alliance with the king of Syria. He started to make an alliance with the king of Syria. Something happened to Asa's faith when he stopped seeking God. When he stopped seeking God, his faithfulness, it began to falter. His faithfulness began to come fickle. What happens when God's people stop seeking God? We'll go a week. We'll go a month. Add on a couple of months. Onto a year. A bump in the road. A struggle. A battle that we're facing. And when we started out, we had a faith that could conquer. But now, it's different. When we stop seeking God, our faithfulness falters. And we're going to see that it's going to be a downward spiral here for Asa. It's going to be a downward spiral. We're going to be going back and forth between chapters 14 and 15 and back to 16. But we're going to see a downward spiral in the life of Asa here. Wait a second, this is the man who said, I'm going to seek God. He started out well. Started out very well. But now his faithfulness has faltered. Because instead of having faith in God, he makes an alliance with a king, with an evil king. His faithfulness falters. Now I want you to look at verses 8 and 9. I want to look at verses 8 and 9 in chapter 16. Excuse me, verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and hast not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. And in verse 8, he mentions a previous battle that was faced. He mentions a previous battle that was faced in chapter 14. As a matter of fact, this was one of the greatest victories in Judah's history. That prayer that I read to you from verse 11, that prayer that I read to you, that was before that battle took place. Near about 1 million soldiers, an impossible battle. Yet Asa said, Lord, it is nothing to thee. It is nothing to thee. And the Bible says they defeated them. The Bible says they smote them. But look here. He mentions that. He says in verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Lumbians a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou relied on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. The greatest victory in Judah's history. And he not only had faith in the Lord, but he prayed to the Lord. He sought the Lord. He sought the Lord in prayer. And now, he stopped seeking God. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. The first battle that he faced, he had faith. He sought after God. Now we come to chapter 16. And what happens? Not only is his faithfulness faltered, but his prayer life, it perished. He didn't pray to God. He went straight to making an alliance with an evil king. And then he's reminded of the battle. He's reminded of the huge battle that through prayer, God delivered the enemy into his hands. God delivered the enemy into his hands. And this time around, he does not pray to God. Why? Because when he stopped seeking God, his faithfulness faltered. When his faithfulness faltered, his prayer life disappeared. He stopped praying. He stopped praying. Can I make mention of this? That God's always present to hear. God's always present to hear. He heard King Asa in chapter 14. He could have as well heard him in chapter 16. But Asa didn't pray. Asa didn't go to God. God is present to hear the prayers of the righteous. Psalm 34 and verses 4 through 5 say, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. In verse 17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivered them out of all their troubles. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. In 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. He is present to hear the prayers of his children. He is present to hear the prayers of his children. Say, when can I pray to him? Anytime. Anytime where he could be found. But King Asa, the man who had a desire, the man who had a need for the touch of God, the man who sought after the Lord, the man who had faith, the man who prayed, now in the latter years of his life, his faithfulness is faltered. His prayer life has perished. And then lastly, I want you to look at verse 12, 2 Chronicles 16. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. And then one of the saddest phrases that you'll read in this verse, yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Earlier on, this is a man who sought the Lord. This is a man who in chapter 15, verse 12, had Israel enter into a covenant to seek after the Lord. To seek after the Lord, no matter what direction, no matter what they were facing. He said, Israel, we are going to seek after the Lord. We are going to get our counsel from him. And then the latter years of his life, what happened? Here we read in chapter 16 that Asa is into the last years of his reign. He's into the last years of his life. He's afflicted with a disease that affected his feet. He's bedridden. But instead of seeking the Lord, instead of going to counsel with him, he goes to the physicians. What happened? In the latter years of his life, we see that his faithfulness faltered. We see that his prayer life perished. He didn't consult with God anymore. And lastly, we see his counsel changes. His counsel changes. He didn't seek the Lord anymore. He stopped. Yet at the end of his life, he sought the physicians. Gill's commentary makes this note. His seeking to physicians for help with his disease perhaps would not have been observed to his approach had he also sought unto the Lord, whom he ought to have sought in the first place. And when he applied to the physicians, he should have implored that the blessing of God on their prescriptions. But he so much forgot himself as to forget the Lord. What a sad testimony in the latter years of his life. This is a man who made a covenant with the Lord to seek after him. And yet in the latter years of his life, he doesn't seek the Lord anymore. He doesn't seek the Lord anymore. He forgot. He forgot the covenant that he made so many years ago to seek after the Lord. And now we see him at the end of his life, not seeking the Lord for counsel, but seeking the physicians. He forgot. He completely forgot. You see, this could be us. This could happen to us. Do not ignore that. We could start out so well. We could start out so well in seeking after God. And then what could happen when we stop? Our faithfulness falters. We don't have much faith in God anymore. Our prayer life begins to perish. Because we don't have faith in God anymore, we don't talk to him. We don't bring a request to him. And then the latter years, because we don't talk to him, because we don't have faith in him, we don't go to him for counsel. We don't go to him in prayer. We don't read his word. Instead, we'll go to somebody else. We'll consult somebody else. You see, it's quite possible that tonight you're in one of three places. One, you haven't sought the Lord at all. Can I tell you tonight? You have a need for him. Begin to seek him right now. Begin to seek him right now. You could be exactly like Asa. You started out well, but then you've kind of slipped up. You've backslidden. You've forgotten about your need of God. You've stopped seeking him. It's time to get back to it. It's time to get back to seeking God. You need it. Your family needs it. The church needs it. Or you could be the person who has been seeking God, who is continuing to seek God day by day by day. Let me encourage you with this one verse. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Continue. Continue to seek after the Lord. Now you say, what happened to Asa? Well, 1 Chronicles 15:17 naturally mentions that nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all of his days. You're saying, can God still use me? Can God still use me? I want to look at one more passage. It's in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 1. Now, when we think about genealogies, genealogies are very, very important. They're very, very important because the genealogies, they point to the person of Jesus Christ. They point to the person of Jesus Christ, so they're very important to defend. And we're going to see something in this genealogy. Starting in verse 6, it says, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uzziah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. Rehoboam begat Abba. And Abba begat, read that last word, Asa. Abba begat Asa. This man, he stopped seeking God. He started well, but then he stopped. Bible says, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect in all of his days. And as we look at the lineage of Jesus Christ, the blood lineage and the royal lineage, we see that Asa is still a part of that. God still used him. God still used Asa. So you say, I've slipped up. I haven't been seeking God as I should. I haven't been seeking him in the word. I haven't been seeking him through prayer. I failed in that. Can I tell you, failure is not final? Failure is not final. You can always start again. You can always start tonight. May I encourage you? We have a need. There's a great need for the touch of God in our lives. There's a great need for the touch of God in our families. There's a great need for the touch of God upon this church. Can I encourage you tonight? Can I implore you? Seek him. Seek him. You have the opportunity. You have the privilege. May you seek God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Let's pray.